You're listening to a special holiday version of Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association with host John Hansen. Today's show will put the Home Alone parents on trial. Sponsored by attorney Michael Leonard of Leonard Trial Lawyers and attorney Patrick Dolan of Conti and Dolan. Now, here's John Hansen.
All right. Can't believe we're really doing this. Mike Leonard, federal defense attorney, and Patrick Dolan, employment lawyer from Conti and Dolan. Gentlemen, thanks for agreeing to do this again this year.
Happy to be here.
John, happy to be here. A little disappointed we're here to face these frivolous charges.
Oh, but wait, we're
very
not there.
Excited, but very excited to defend people that I would call my friends, the McAllisters.
Look, he's already trying to influence the jury before the trial has even started. For those that are confused and wondering, what the heck are we doing? Last year, we did the trial of the Grinch, which was a rousing success, and we had so many of you listeners at the end of it voting in the jury, and that's what's going to happen here at the end of this show as well. We also take questions, too, 312-981-7200. Both parties have agreed that we're going to allow to do that today. So just have some fun. Obviously, there's some very serious stories out in the world, but this is all meant in good fun. Now, before we start the trial, as most trials go, and just let me explain the roles here. I am John Hansen. I'm the host of the show. I am the judge today. What I say goes, right? That's how judges rule?
Absolutely.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. You guys agree to that?
We agree.
We do.
That's the only thing we're going to agree on.
Yeah. Yes. So you guys are already talking over each other. I need you guys to look at each other and make sure you don't do that in my courtroom. Iridian is our bailiff today, and she will also be helping out with all evidence presented because we have a lot of great clips that will be presented as evidence from the movie Home Alone. Are there any pretrial motions before we begin, Patrick Dolan?
Your Honor, I do have one.
You're the prosecutor. You're representing the state. You are charging the parents, okay?
I'm very proudly representing the state of Illinois.
Okay.
Thanks, Your Honor.
Yeah.
So, Your Honor, I move to remove defense counsel's attorney of record for...
You want to get rid of Mike Leonard?
I do.
Why?
Well, let me explain, Judge. So he represents the kid abandoners, Pete and Kate McAllister, pursuant to a conflict of interest that he has. And let me explain.
Okay.
So defense counsel previously had an attorney-client relationship with my witness, Buzz McAllister, and Buzz does not agree to waive the conflict. The defense counsel represented the Grinch in the criminal trial last year.
Yes.
I can't really recall the outcome, but I think, that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And Buzz McAllister, who was buddies with the Grinch, was represented by defense counsel and presented as a character witness for the Grinch, so he knows far too much about Buzz.
I'm going to deny this. Mike Leonard is here, and he will remain the defense attorney, okay? Denied.
Thanks, Judge.
Sorry. And do you have any pretrial motions, Mr. Leonard?
Similarly, I move to disqualify Mr. Dolan. We all know, according to the Tribune and sometimes reports, he is considering a run for office. Clearly, he has a conflict of interest because his interests are not necessarily those of the state. They are his self-interest in gathering publicity for his candidacy. So, therefore, he should be disqualified.
I will also deny that. Anyone's allowed to run for anything they want, and there's no sense whether he is running for anything or not, and that doesn't have any bearing on this trial, sir.
And he probably has no chance of winning anyways, Judge.
Well, I'm going to strike that from the record. The jury did not hear it. Let's bring the jury in, and let's start the trial of the Home Alone parents. All right, Judge John Hansen presiding here 3:40 in the afternoon on WGN. We start with opening statements. Patrick Dolan, you represent the state. Go ahead. Oh, let me turn your mic on.
That would help, Judge. Thank you.
Don't get sassy with me.
No, sorry, I'm not. I would never offend the judge.
Go ahead, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we are here today during this busy holiday season to protect our young and vulnerable children from negligent parents. Let's be honest and start with something we can all agree on. For the most part, kids are often seriously annoying, and practically every day that you are forced to raise them because of some fun you may have had years ago, you'd like to leave them home alone while you run away to a foreign country. But you can't do that. I know it's tough, but basic common sense and Illinois law requires all of us to be responsible parents, despite the shocking financial, emotional, and physical toll it takes on each of us as parents every day of our lives until we die. And soon, Your Honor, we'll find all of this out, too. I suggest that you start the 529 plan now. Okay. By the way, you're really rocking that black robe there, Judge.
Oh, thank you very much.
You look great.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
Which
that.
Finally brings us to why we're here. Peter and Kate McAllister's decision to take a family Christmas trip to Paris for Christmas, leaving behind their super cute 8-year-old son, Kevin, home alone. Now, let's be clear. The McAllister's parents are not entirely bad people. I mean, sure, Mr. McAllister is the guy at the Christmas party who complains about the lack of consistent sunshine and warm temps during the winter months at his second home in Marco Island, Florida. And Mrs. McAllister can be overheard expressing real concern while trying not to spill her crystal flute of Prosecco about whether her pearl necklace was really cultivated from actual white-lipped oysters in the waters of Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
We all have problems, but these problems do not justify their failure to watch over their young son, Kevin. The evidence will show, dear members of the jury, that Peter and Kate McAllister neglected their son and endangered his safety in violation of Illinois law by leaving him home without parental supervision for 3 days. 3 days, the boy is 8 years old. Under the law, it is enough to convict the McAllister parents who acted recklessly in leaving Kevin home alone to show a violation of these laws. The McAllisters are not excused from legal liability under Illinois child neglect and child endangerment laws because they did it by accident, by the grace of God, survived, and he, by the grace of God, survived the three-day ordeal or some other excuse. The McAllister's high-priced but clearly overpaid defense lawyer tries to distract you with.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fall for his tricks or self-impressed smooth talks. What matters here is that you good people let them know right from wrong, and their reckless conduct cannot go unpunished. Thank you for your service, members of the jury, to our legal community.
I also want to point out to the jury, we are already getting verdicts in. I would ask that you please listen to all the evidence before issuing your verdicts here, but keep them coming. 708 also chimed in. I've had this on my calendar since it was announced. Last year was so much fun. Despite that opening statement, we'll continue to try and have some fun. Mike Leonard, defense, please, your opening statement.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a defense lawyer, I'm often asked the question, how can you represent a person facing criminal charges? You know, in the case of Peter and Kate McAllister, how could I not? They stand falsely accused by a prosecutor with self-interests of a crime they didn't commit. Let's first talk about the burden of proof. The state has to prove my client's guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, which is the highest standard of proof in our system because it's the guard against these types of prosecutions where the evidence is thin or flimsy. Let's talk about the facts and the evidence you'll hear here today. The McAllisters were scheduled to go on a trip to Paris. Peter's brother, Uncle Frank, who you hear from here at the trial, had scheduled a trip where they would meet their third brother in Paris. So Uncle Frank came in from Ohio with his children to the McAllister house here in the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were getting ready to go on the trip, something happened, an act of nature. While everyone was sleeping, preparing for the trip the next day, the power went off, and all the alarm clocks wouldn't work. So everyone woke up a little bit late and was hurried and rushed in getting to the airport. The McAllisters, who are good old-fashioned parents, who are not helicopter parents like the prosecutor, had tagged their oldest daughter to count the children going into the vans to the airport. And because one of the children who lived in the neighborhood had gotten into the van, she mistakenly counted him and believed that all the kids were accounted for, when in fact, Kevin was still in the house.
Counsel, you'll have plenty of time to present this evidence. We have about 30 more seconds in your open, please, sir. Move it along.
And what's going to happen, Judge, is we're going to establish that, of course, Peter and Kate did not act knowingly. They did not know Kevin was in the house. When they discovered he wasn't, they took every step that a parent would take to ensure Kevin's safety. For those reasons, we're going to ask you to find the McAllisters not guilty.
Those are the opening statements of the trial of the Home Alone parents, the McAllisters. Start getting those questions in. What do you want to hear from the defense? What do you want to hear from the prosecutor? 312-981-7200. We'll do this charade. I think we'll keep going unless they pull us off the air after this on WGN. Patrick Dolan, the prosecutor today, an employment lawyer the rest of the day. Is Mike Leonard playing his very comfortable role as a federal defense attorney here. He's defending the McAllisters from Home Alone. Patrick Dolan representing the state of Illinois as the prosecutors charging them. And you all are the jury. Iridian's the bailiff. I'm the the judge. That's our scene. 312-981-7200. Now, I just want to mention to both counselors, we've agreed all parties will take questions from jurors, which I know happens in some civil cases, but we're going to do it here in a criminal case because both parties have allowed it. So you can text them on in, 312-981-7200. And prosecutors go first. And Mr. Dolan, the case is yours. Do we have a, do you want to get started?
Sure, absolutely, Your Honor.
Uh-huh. And where do we begin?
So, Your Honor, we would like to call to the stand Kevin McAllister's older brother, Buzz McAllister, who's okay. also a son of Peter and Kate McAllister.
Okay. Anyone else you're calling? Are you calling two people
and
at the same time?
I am. And Kevin's tarantula, pet tarantula named Harry.
You're calling the tarantula.
I am. He has something to add that's very important.
I object.
On what reason?
I don't know, Judge. It just sounds like something I should object to.
Okay. Always trying to interject with something.
Overruled. Okay, I will swear him in. We have Buzz here and the tarantula. Tarantula, please raise one of your eight legs. Buzz, just your right arm. That's your left, Buzz. Your right arm, please. Very good. Do you swear, both of you, to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, have fun, be in the Christmas spirit, listen to WGN all hours of all days, follow all FCC rules so I don't have to hit the dump button?
Yeah, 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 whatever. Yes, I do.
Okay, Patrick, go ahead. Begin your case.
Thank you, Your Honor. Please state your name for the record.
Buzz McAllister. Actually, my God-given name is Peter Baron von Frank McAllister IV. But I just go by Buzz.
Yeah, Buzz sounds better. So who are your parents, Buzz?
My dad is Peter Baron von Frank McAllister III, obviously. And it just kind of rolls off your tongue, doesn't it? And my mom is Catherine Kennedy Schwarzenegger McAllister. She just goes by Kate, especially when she's with the other moms at the country club drinking wine spritzers.
Do you have any siblings, Buzz?
I wish I didn't, but I do, especially my younger brother. He sucks.
Is this Kevin you're referring to?
He stinks. He stinks.
He stinks.
Don't make me hit the dump button.
I guess that's what people call him, but he's Flemois to me, among other things.
So let's talk about your parents, Peter and Kate.
Hey man, it's your show. I'm just here to answer your lame questions.
Okay, thanks. So in your experience as a son of Peter and Kate McAllister, how would you describe them as parents?
I love them, of course, but I mean, mostly just because they feed me and wash my underwear, which is always dirty, and I wouldn't want to do that. But they're never around, and they let us do whatever we want. It's perfect.
Dinner theater is quite something. Okay, keep going.
Have they ever left you and your siblings at home alone?
Yeah, plenty of times, but not for days on end. Oh, except for that one time we went to Paris. They totally forgot about Flemwad. He was home alone for 3 whole days. Not going to win any Parent of the Year awards for that one, are they? Totally lame.
So why would you describe that as totally lame?
Well, don't they teach you common sense in law school? I mean, they don't notice he doesn't leave the house with us. They don't notice he's not in the airport. They don't notice he doesn't board the plane. They don't notice he's not on the actual plane with us until we're practically staring up the skirt of the Eiffel Tower. That's some horrible parenting.
So do you remember what you said about Kevin while you were in Paris and he was back home alone?
No.
Let me refresh your recollection.
This is so pointless.
What?
We're here riding in this apartment. Kevin's at home. Mom's at the airport.
So?
You're not at all worried about Kevin.
Why should I be? No, he's acted like a jerk once too many times, and this time he caught it in the butt.
He's so little and helpless. Don't you think he's flipped out?
The little child can use a couple of days in the real world.
You're not at all worried that something might happen to him.
No. For 3 reasons. A, I'm not that lucky. 2, we have smoke detectors. And D, we live in the most boring street in the United States of America, where nothing even remotely dangerous will ever happen. Period.
Now I remember. But why should I be concerned about the butt wipe when my parents clearly don't care and it's their job?
So before you left for Paris, Buzz, did you hear your parents get mad at Kevin?
Yeah. But that's nothing new. They're always yelling at him for something because he's a major pain in the Astrodome. They really got mad at the little nose picker, though, the night before we left.
Why do you say that?
Before we move on, I think we have to take a quick commercial break here.
Sure.
I'm sorry, Prosecutor. Well, more with Patrick Dolan and the prosecution of the McAllister parents after this on 720 WGN. I've been told the correct term for a courtroom break from the listeners is recess. So, okay. Prosecutor, we do have a question on the text line, Mr. Dolan. Other than the trip in question, what was the longest time the kids were left alone? 1 hour, 1 day, 1 week. We were left alone all the time is what one of the jury members heard there. Do you have any sense of that? Maybe, Buzz, you can answer that. How long were you left alone before this?
Think about a day.
About a day. Okay.
Okay.
Would you say that under 24 hours or?
No. Full 24 hours.
Full 24 hours. Okay.
I mean, 3 days is pretty long, Your Honor.
Let's get through some of the other evidence you have here.
Let's play a clip.
Okay, which one do you want to hear?
The next one.
Okay. This is P2, Iridian.
Hey, get off. Kevin, out of the room.
Hang up the phone and make me, why don't you?
Okay, did you by any chance pick up the voltage adapter thing?
No, I didn't have time to do that.
Well, how am I supposed to shave in France?
Grow a goatee.
Dad, nobody let me do anything.
Bye.
You don't have anything to do? I got something for you to do. You can pick up those micro machines that are all over in there. Aunt Leslie stepped on one and almost broke her neck.
He was in the garage again playing with the glue gun.
Didn't we talk about that?
Did I burn down the joint? I don't think so. I was making ornaments out of fish hooks.
My new fish hooks?
I can't make ornaments out of the old ones with dry worm guts stuck on them.
Peter.
Come on, Kevin. Out.
All right, so why did you present that evidence, sir?
Thanks, Judge. Because what I wanted to show was the fact that the parents are just disregarding Kevin and his needs. That they're just kicking him out of the room. They're too busy getting ready for the trip. They're just not paying attention to him. And later on, actually, Judge, what happens is he's sent up to the attic, which is a really scary place. And maybe we could hear something about that, and Buzz can talk about it.
There are 15 people in this house. You're the only one who has to make trouble.
I'm the only one getting dumped on.
You're the only one acting up. Now, get upstairs.
I am upstairs, dummy. The third floor?
Go.
It's scary up there.
Don't be silly. Fuller will be up in a little while.
I don't want a super Fuller. You know about him. He wets the bed. He'll pee all over me. I know it.
So he goes up to the attic, okay.
He does, and, well, you know, we'll have Buzz explain a little bit about why that's so important.
Buzz, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it was earlier that day. Mom blew an absolute gasket on that night on account of him. And, you know, me and him kind of get into a fight, mostly his fault, and we spilled everybody's drinks at dinner all over our passports. And I saw my dad throw out Kevin's plane ticket when he was cleaning up that mess. Dad totally noticed that. I saw we locked eyes, and he stared at me with an expression like, "Listen, Buzz, if you tell anyone that I threw out Kevin's plane ticket, then I'm going to tell your mom about the magazines you keep in your room."
Do you have an objection to that, Mr. Leonard? It seems very hearsay-like.
Well, it's completely hearsay. Judge, I've moved to strike it, and it should have been disclosed prior to trial.
I agree with him. We'll instruct the jury not to take that into consideration. Where do we go next, prosecutor, please? Do we have another clip?
Yeah, let's talk about Mrs. McAllister's niece, Heather, who apparently tried to help her out counting kids, is not very good at that.
Let's play a little of that. Here we go. Go ahead, Iridian.
Heather, did you count heads?
11, including me. 5 boys, 6 girls, 4 parents, 2 drivers, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Okay, she counted them up.
Yeah, but she's completely unreliable. And Buzz knows Heather pretty well. Buzz, what do you think about Heather?
Yeah, what do you think?
You know, I call Heather Princess Airhead, but she was a student at Northwestern until she got kicked out.
Wow.
Which is why I'm confused why she even wears her Northwestern hoodie still.
So you're contesting that the parents knew someone that shouldn't have been counting the kids was counting them.
Yes. She's totally unreliable.
Do we have one more clip here to play before we wrap up or we move on from the prosecution case here? I believe you have a last one here.
Yeah. Wait, Iridian?
Go ahead, let's play it.
I'm a bad parent. I'm a bad parent.
You're not. You know, you're beating yourself up there. You know, well, this happens. This thing happens. You know, you.
And tell me, have you ever gone on vacation and left your child home?
No.
Is that an admission of guilt? Is that what you're suggesting here?
I think it is. Yeah.
That she admits she's a bad parent?
That's what she said, Your Honor. We'll just go by what she said.
Okay. We'll tell you what. We'll have a little bit more with the prosecution. The defense will have a chance to cross-examine the witnesses, and then we'll hear from the defense. Most importantly, we need to hear from the listeners. 312-981-7200. The trial of the Home Alone parents after the news on WGN.
Now, here's John Hanson.
All right. Well, we're still on the air. That's a good sign. 409 here on WGN. We did this last year for the Grinch. It's a holiday tradition, and this year, the McAllister parents. You remember them. They left Kevin at home, and now we're finding out whether they deserve to be punished for that. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We would love for you to chime in with any questions, any thoughts, and you can do it via the text line or the phone line, and I'll present the questions to the prosecutor, Patrick Dolan, and the defense attorney, Mike Leonard. We have a couple things here quickly on the text line. And a lot of questions are coming in about what's the legal standard in this case. Essentially saying endangerment, they were left alone. Do they have to know that they were doing this in order to be charged. Prosecutor Dolan, you say that they do not have to say. What's the standard in your mind?
They don't. Well, the standard under Illinois law, not just in my mind, Your Honor, is recklessness. If they engaged in activity that was reckless in leaving their child unsupervised for an unreasonable length of time, 3 days certainly is by any standard, that's a violation of the law.
Mr. Leonard here?
Sad. To hear Mr. Dolan miscite the law like that is just really offensive. But what the statute actually says is that a person commits endangering the life or health of a child when he or she knowingly engages in conduct. So they have to actually know that Kevin was left behind. It's not reckless. It's not negligent. Those are civil standards. But for a prosecutor like Dolan, who doesn't have a lot of experience and a bad track record, I understand why he would misrepresent the law to this jury.
But knowingly doesn't define that they have to have known that they were doing and what they're doing was bad. They could have known longer than they let on, right? I think knowingly leaves some nebulous room for people to interpret this how they want, and that's what I'm going to decide as a judge. I'm leaving that up to the jury's interpretation. Do you think that they should be in trouble for what they did? And that can be whatever standard the listeners choose to make it.
I move to strike the judge.
I'm supporting the judge.
Thank you. Rejected. Let's go to the phone lines. Jeannie, you have a question. What is your question? Welcome to WGN.
Hi. Didn't the McAllisters have friends or family that they could call? Maybe another PTA lady or friends from the country club, friends from another religion that aren't celebrating Christmas in Paris.
Boy, what a great point by Jeannie. And I'm going to give this to the defense attorney first. Did they make their efforts to do this?
Jeannie, great question. Thank you very much for that. What they did was they went straight to the heart of it. They called the police. And as you recall, the police were very unconcerned because it wasn't that big of a deal. And they also called a number of neighbors who, again, many of them were not home. Many of them got voicemail messages. But again, it was not viewed at the time as a big deal. Even the police didn't care. They came out, said, doesn't seem to be anybody home, and they dropped it. So that's the crux of this matter.
Jeannie, did that satisfy your question?
Not really. Yeah. I wouldn't have killed someone, but still not guilty.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Thank you, Jeannie.
Well, let's hear the whole case first, Jeannie. Let's go to Scott. Scott is on WGN. Hello, Scott. What's your question?
Yeah, I was wondering, like, the McAllisters clearly had the resources to charter a private plane to come home, let alone just fly commercial. And along the lines of their friends at the country club, clearly they were more afraid of what would happen if people knew they left their son behind than if they'd call for help from their friend.
Oh, wow.
This guy is brilliant.
Well, you agree with what he's
totally
saying?
Totally. Brilliant points.
Okay, Mr. Defense Attorney?
Sometimes you get questions from the jurors that aren't good. But, well, let's address that. If you remember at the ticket counter, the McAllisters were asking, could they get any flight whatsoever to the United States? The answer was no. And then they asked, could we charter a plane? And the answer was no. And let's not forget, this trip was paid for by their brother. They don't have those kind of resources with five kids to charter a plane, but they were willing to do it, but were denied.
Excuse me, they've listed their home for sale. It is worth $5 million in the north suburbs.
Well, that's present day. This happened several years ago.
Oh, that's right.
In the housing bubble.
Mr. Dolan, any thoughts on that matter?
I do have a thought. First of all, they asked a person at the American Airlines counter if they could charter a plane. That does not count. They could have privately chartered a plane like the caller pointed out. Also, you know what? They don't have any friends. They're snotty folks who don't have any neighbor friends who are willing to look after them. And by the way, one of their friends was a reputed murderer. And yet, you know, they just let him live next to him and leave their son alone, home alone.
Wow, so, bringing someone else into the trial who I believe the story arc showed that he wasn't a reputed murderer.
Will go to any length to misrepresent, obfuscate. Is that even a word?
I don't know.
But the shovel guy who was allegedly murdered was not. He's a gentleman who was eventually reunited with his son with a big heart. So,
Mr. Leonard, I've had Mr. Dolan in my courtroom for a lot of different cases related to this. I think you wanted to bring something up about that, right?
Well, yeah, Judge, you make a great point. I'm glad you raised it. Interestingly enough, the people who were called the wet bandits who tried to rob the house, who caused all this trouble, Mr. Dolan attempted to prosecute them, and both were found not guilty. So clearly, we know why he's motivated to prosecute the parents, because he failed at convicting the Wet Bandits, and now a sudden, now he's got to try to save his sullied reputation and point the finger at the McAllisters.
Any response to that?
Well, the fact of the matter is, we convicted them on a lesser charge. If you recall that
jaywalking,
maybe you're misremembering that.
Speeding
in your defense lawyer spin. And you know, they committed crimes just like the McAllister parents committed crimes.
Okay,
so we're just doing what the state needs to do to protect the people,
right?
Which you don't care about.
Someone wanted to know, and someone pointed out, was the giant home paid for by the brother too? That's a fair point.
It was not.
It's
a Tony looking red brick house on the North Shore,
mm-hmm.
with which you should know a lot about, being the highly paid defense lawyer. By the way, didn't you come to the trial in the chauffeured limo that the McAllisters drove you in? I think you did.
I'm going to strike that from the jury. No attacks here on the council. Let's go to the phone lines. Gene has a question or a comment. Gene, you're on WGN.
Okay, my comment is, in today's world, the McAllisters would be suing the police department and collect about $8 million for not doing their diligence and going any further.
Well, thank God we're not there
what
today.
What a great point. You know, my clients are not motivated by that. They're not looking to get revenge or come back against them. I mean, they're just looking to save their reputation, get a not guilty from you fine folks out there. Thank you.
Well, they have enough money. They don't need the money.
Gene, thank you for the phone call. What a great point.
By the way, can I point something out, Your Honor?
Please.
The tape of that call to the police, Mrs. McAllister was hysterical and did not get her point across. So the police were not alarmed because she was totally not understandable during that
phone call. Are you suggesting she was acting during the phone call?
I'm saying that she gave them nothing that would warrant alarm because she was so hysterical.
That's a fair point.
Saying.
She could have said, my son is home alone. He's all alone. No one else is home. We are scared for him and his danger. She didn't lay it
she
out like that.
She did not do that.
Well,
she did not.
Funny, Judge, but as we know, the police actually sent a cruiser to the house. So she got her point across pretty darn well.
Okay, let's go to
Elise. Try very hard.
Let's go to Elise is on the phones. Hello, Elise. You're on WGN. Your thoughts?
My thought is that the McAllisters raised a very responsible child because he was able to take care of himself under these circumstances and, not let the burglars get in and take things or do anything. So they raised a responsible child.
So you think that this speaks highly of them as parents?
Yes.
Go ahead, defense attorney.
I think that's a fantastic point, and actually one we're going to hear more about in the defense case if we ever get to it. And listeners, if you need smelling salts to wake up from the prosecution's case, raise your hand.
Wow. any reaction to that, how Kevin's resourceful?
Well, that's just irrelevant. The law doesn't matter to the law about that. And by the way, he was so scared, as Buzz's pet Tarantula will tell you.
Oh, please, let's get to that.
He was very, very scared. So he did the best he could under the circumstance, but that poor kid was terrified.
You do have the Tarantula here. Would you like to ask him
a
question?
Harry? Do you have something to add, please?
Yeah, that's right. I saw Kevin, and he looked real scared about being abandoned by the family. My main man, Buzz, told me to bite Kevin if I ever got the chance, and let me tell you, I would have done it given the chance, and Kevin knew it, too.
Wow.
Wow. So
what are you contending there with that?
I'm contending that he was scared, and he was scared not of being alone and with the tarantula, too,
right?
Who was a poisonous spider.
Okay. Prosecutor, I think we are done with your side of the arguments. Is that okay?
Yeah, I would like to introduce evidence of what happened 2 years later in New York, which is consistent with what the parents did in abandoning their child.
Objection. Relevance.
What did they do in New York? Did the similar thing happen again?
They did. Yes, they abandoned their child again.
You know, I originally thought I would not allow this from New York, but I feel that you have a real uphill climb, Patrick. So I'm going to allow evidence that this exact same situation happened 2 years later in New York to establish a pattern. And maybe perhaps that could be considered as part of this, too.
I move for a mistrial.
No, well,
thank you, Judge. That was
dismissed.
A brilliant ruling. Wrong.
We got to take a break. We'll hear the defense's side of the argument, so we'll get your questions, too. 312-981-7200. After this, the trial of the Home Alone parents on WGN. The McAllister parents are in the courtroom with us today. The defense attorney, Mike Leonard, a federal defense attorney in real life and... in the fictional world as well. There's nothing fictional about this case, so these are serious charges. Defense attorney Mike Leonard, are you ready to present your side of the story?
I am. I'm going to do something I've never done in my career. I'm going to waive cross-examination of the prosecution's two witnesses.
For those that missed, Buzz and the tarantula just testified.
Yeah, based upon the lack of credibility, which is obvious to this jury, I don't think we need to examine
them. I want to strike that from the record. Nothing is obvious to any jury about their credibility, sir. Please continue.
I will say this. I've seen prosecutors resort to tactics and tricks, but what a tangled web we weave in calling a spider, sir. May okay. I proceed, Judge?
Yeah, that's very good. 708, yes, you can. To one point, someone says, the charge is only this Paris trip. Evidence from the New York trip should not be allowed. Had the trial been about the New York trip, the Paris could be admitted as a pattern of behavior. You can't submit evidence as something that happened after the event. I imagine, Mike Leonard, that's something you agree with?
I couldn't agree more. That sounds spoken like a true lawyer. Even if they're not a lawyer, they're right on target, John.
I do recognize this number. Did you text in the line yourself this argument because you didn't win?
Wait.
I am allowing the evidence in New York to show the pattern, even if it is out of order, because this is a fake courtroom. Where are we going next, Mike?
We're going to go to some evidence to present to the jury. Iridian, courtroom deputy, could you play?
She's the bailiff. Do not.
I thought she was your deputy.
She's both. Yeah. She does everything.
You take your job pretty seriously, Mr. Hansen. if we want to proceed in order, defense exhibit D1, then D2, then D3.
All in a row?
Yeah, we'll play them in a row, then we'll talk about it. I don't need to bore the jury like Mr. Dolan.
Go ahead, Iridian. Three in a row.
I made my family disappear. Yeah!
That's one. Here's two.
A lovely cheese pizza just for me.
Okay, and here's three.
Are those microwave dinners any good?
I don't know.
I'll give them a whirl. Hold on, I got a coupon for that. It was in the paper this morning.
Okay, what are you presenting that evidence for, Mr. Leonard?
It might be a little too obvious, Judge, but what we're trying to establish is that even from Kevin's actions and statements, we can see he was in no danger. He wasn't endangered. His actions show, as one of the listeners pointed out, a very mature kid who was well-raised by parents who are not of the helicopter type. They've shown this kid how to be responsible, how to be independent, and he was never in danger at any moment.
I just want to bring up one point. He was a old man with a snow shovel away from getting his fingers bitten off a little bit later on in the story, sir. You would say he wasn't in any danger at the moment with the wet bandits, as not guilty as they were by a court of law, very clearly were acting suspiciously and put him in danger. Would you say that?
No, I wouldn't. As you saw, Kevin gleefully fought off the wet bandits. He was actually enjoying himself, and I'd think it was a growth opportunity. It was an inadvertent growth opportunity, but presented to his by him to his parents because of the way they raised him.
Okay. What else where you want to go with this?
I would like your deputy or clerk or bailiff to play D4, D5, D6 defense exhibits.
All in a row here?
Yes.
Let's start with D4, Iridian.
I'm desperate. I'm begging you, from a mother to a mother, please. Oh, Ed. Please.
Oh, all right.
That's D4. Let's hear D5.
I have been awake for almost 60 hours. I'm tired and I'm dirty. I have been from Chicago to Paris to Dallas to... Where the hell am I?
Scranton.
I am trying to get home to my 8-year-old son. And now that I'm this close, you're telling me it's hopeless.
I'm sorry.
No way. This is Christmas, the season of perpetual hope.
Let's go to D7.
I think it's D6.
D6. Thank you, sir.
If I have to sell my soul to the devil himself, I am going to get home to my son.
Sir?
I think it says it all, John. As you can see, the
Judge,
actions...
Your Honor,
oh,
please.
I'm sorry to be informal with you, Judge. Yeah. As you can see, based upon those evidentiary clips, the idea that Kate McAllister didn't do everything human possibly to get back to her son is absurd. And the fact, they also underscore the fact that she didn't knowingly leave Kevin alone. They speak for themselves. And I'd like to, before we go to the witness testimony, I'd like to go to D8.
Okay, we can go to D8. Iridian is answering a phone call from a listener. Iridian, are you able to play D8 for us here? Yeah, Iridian cues that on up, and here we go. Any moment now. Meridian's doing a lot.
You're beating yourself up there. You know, come on, this happens. This thing happens. You know, you want to talk about bad parents? Look at us. I mean, we're on the road 48, 49 weeks out of the year. We hardly see our families.
These things happen, okay.
Yeah, so that was Gus Polinski, the polka band king. And I think he said it best in a simple way that we can all understand. Things happen. You know, just because a parent makes a mistake or there's an oversight does not create a criminal, unlike Mr. Dolan's view of parenthood. These things happen. Parents make mistakes. They don't need to be prosecuted for those mistakes unless they act intentionally in violation of the law.
We're going to get to your witness after the news. We're almost up to the news. But the judge, I know this is unusual in a courtroom. I have a piece of evidence I would like to present. We're going to play clip J2 from the judge, Iridian. J2, please.
Did I turn off the coffee?
No, I did.
Did you lock up?
Yeah.
Did you close the garage?
That's it. I forgot to close the garage. That's it.
No, that's not it.
What else can we be forgetting?
Kevin!
They are 5.5 hours into their flight. I was able to track the flight from Chicago to Paris. The sun is set where they are. They're over the Sea of Labrador, which is about 5.5 hours after leaving O'Hare. Are you telling me that they remembered they didn't close the garage? That they didn't close the garage, but they didn't leave the coffee pot on. These very specific examples, and they still wouldn't know that they had left their son behind 5.5 hours later? Oh, let me turn your mic on.
Ironic, when you say the Sea of Labrador, it reminds me of the dog of the case that's being prosecuted here today. But the point is, Judge, that they did, as the listener said earlier, put responsibility in one of the eldest children to count. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what caused the delay in them discovering that their son wasn't with them.
You wouldn't double check that as a parent?
When I have responsible, resilient, independent children like these, I wouldn't see a need.
Let's hit the news here, and we're going to get to the witness that you have brought along as well. I believe we're going to be hearing from Uncle Frank.
He's here and ready to testify, Judge.
Okay. Trial of the Home Alone parents enters its final half hour. Maybe rejoicingly so for some of our listeners. I hope you're having fun. We are here in the studio. It's a tradition we do it. Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Mike Leonard representing the McAllister parents, who are charged with a couple different crimes of child endangerment and reckless behavior. Patrick Dolan is the prosecutor. Before we get to your witness, may I take a couple questions from the text line and comments?
Absolutely.
You okay with that, prosecutor?
Sure.
As well? All right. The 630. It could be argued that Kevin is as mature as he is because of a lack of parental guidance, years and years of this. He had to grow up fast in order to take care of himself. I think this is making your point, prosecutor.
Yeah, I mean, there's the pattern right there. I mean, the fact of the matter is, just because he was able to, you know, take care of himself for 3 days doesn't mean that the McAllister parents are not guilty of the crime. That's just how the law works.
Okay.
Spoken like a true helicopter parent. Kevin is at the level of maturity that is because of the opportunities he's had to fail, to make mistakes, to act independently.
Maybe he's made a lot of mistakes because his parents have left him home alone. Buzz himself said that
multiple
one time he was left alone over a day before this incident.
Judge, I hate to see you put your finger on the scales of justice, but you know, if you must.
Well, the 847 does say Buzz is a bully big brother. He's not reliable as a witness at all. He should have been the one protecting Kevin. Okay. Last question here before we get to the witness. In the matter of the Home Alone parents, I think we're, this is from the 415, I think we're really over-prosecuting this matter. My parents, Jim and Barb, used to regularly leave our sister behind at family parties. She almost always found a way home.
3 days Great later? Point. 3 days Great later, point. Though?
Yeah,
I don't know.
This is 3 days we're talking about.
Sounds like a very informed juror, maybe with some international experience.
As we lead into the witness, Iridian, our bailiff, can you please play J1?
What is the matter with you? He started it. He ate my pizza on purpose. He knows I ate sausage and olives and
look what you did, you little jerk.
And here we, Leonard, who are we bringing in here?
We're bringing Frank McAllister, who's the brother of Peter, also known as Uncle Frank.
And he's the one that uttered those words.
He did.
I just want the jury to know that before he begins speaking. All right, Uncle Frank, raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? Have fun, be in the Christmas spirit. Listen to WGN all hours of all days and follow all FCC rules so I don't have to hit the dump button and get right up to the microphone.
I do.
He does. Okay, go ahead.
Uncle Frank, thank you for traveling all the way from Ohio to testify here today. I just have a couple questions for you. Have you had the opportunity to observe the parenting and parenting style of Peter and Kate McAllister?
Yes, numerous times. I'm, of course, the children's favorite uncle because, well, I'm what those influencers call cool and what they call hip.
Uh-huh. And could you describe for us, Uncle Frank, their relationship with their kids and their parenting style?
Well, they're 100% devoted to their kids. However, they have not raised the kids in the helicopter parent way you see too often these days. They've raised them to be self-sufficient, independent, and responsible. They give them both chores and freedom to make mistakes. They don't walk the kids to school every day or make them or buy them anything they want or call them their best friends. They're good, old-fashioned, real parents.
Uncle Frank, were you present on the airplane when Kate and Peter discovered for the first time that Kevin had been mistakenly left behind?
Yes.
Uncle Frank, can you describe for the ladies and gentlemen, the jury, the reaction of Peter and Kate to learning that Kevin wasn't on the airplane?
They were absolutely devastated. Kate would have parachuted off the plane if they would have let her. Peter, well, he's not so emotional, you know, because of our bad upbringing, but being his brother, I could read his expression like a good book, you know, like maybe a Dr. Seuss book. Anyway, I've never seen a look of concern and worry in his eyes like I saw that day. He even had trouble finishing all of the meals they brought him, and that was first class.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you just a couple final questions. Did Kate and Peter do any work in the community?
Do you jest? Why, of course they do. Kate makes clothes for all the local homeless shelters. That's why they have all those mannequins in the basement. And Peter, every year, he volunteers to serve beer at the beer tent in the summer. Fun fest, you know. Of course, he gets two or three beers out of it.
Uncle Frank, one final question. Do you have any reason to believe that Peter or Kate knew that their son wasn't on the flight until midway through the flight?
Of course not. All those kids together raising hell, yeah.
So they certainly, Uncle Frank, didn't act knowingly in leaving Kevin behind, did they, sir?
No, never.
Thank you, Uncle Frank, for your candid, honest testimony here today.
I do have one question. I don't know if Prosecutor Dolan, you're going to cross. Isn't it true that Uncle Frank, you and your wife, you instructed your wife to steal items, the salt and the pepper shakers, because they were real crystal, and stuff them into a bag?
Well, I thought about it because I thought they'd probably throw stuff out, you know.
Maybe just a point to the jury that someone who is trying to steal from American Airlines, I'll let the jury decide whether they think that might make them not a reliable witness, Counselor.
Putting your thumb on the scale again, Judge. I've seen it way too many times in my career.
Well, Prosecutor Dolan's not doing it. I got to step in. That was good, right, Prosecutor?
Yeah, that was perfect. You know, that was my first question. I was going to ask that question.
All right, very good. Okay, tell you what. 312-981-7200. Are you guys ready for your closing arguments? And then we can open up the phone lines and the text lines for all the guilty or not guilty verdicts?
Sure. If we really feel that's necessary, we're ready to proceed.
Wow. Okay. Who goes first normally? You guys tell me.
Mr. Dolan goes because he has the burden of proof,
all right.
Judge.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor, and thanks again for the service of our fine jury here in Illinois. And I'd also like to thank the testimony of Buzz McAllister and Harry, his tarantula, yeah, to provide us great insights into their parents. Parents that clearly abandoned their child for 3 days, given their reckless behavior. And let's focus on the facts. Don't be distracted by the defense counsel and his, you know, fast talking, throwing out these things left and right. What we need to take back are what we're talking about here. And what we're talking about is, as Buzz rightly pointed out, they left Kevin McAllister, their 8-year-old boy, home alone for 3 days. It doesn't matter that Kevin survived those 3 days despite all of the things that he had to go through. It doesn't matter that when they determined hours and hours and hours later, when they are practically in Paris, France, that they had left him behind and tried very hard to get back. I understand that they did. It doesn't matter. Their reckless behavior in leaving this boy home alone for 3 days is, frankly, whether we like it or not, a violation of Illinois law. And listen, the state of Illinois is reasonable. We don't seek to punish these folks with jail time. What we think is appropriate is community service of 100 hours, cleaning out the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese's, and spending time watching Home Alone 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
That's a punishment.
Those movies consecutively. We figure that is appropriate punishment for what they have done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dolan.
And go Hawks.
Mr. Leonard?
It saddens me that you're going to have to address some of those arguments made by Mr. Dolan. First of all, he misstates the law. Illinois law requires him to prove, and he has the burden of proof.
I've already ruled on this. We are leaving this up to the jury to decide how they want to interpret the law.
Well, Judge, as you've let Mr. Dolan explain his version of the law, I'll give you mine.
Okay.
So he has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that they acted knowingly, that they knowingly left Kevin behind. Of course, the evidence doesn't support that, and Mr. Dolan's ill-fated case falls for that reason alone. And I'll just raise an aside. We know the political motivations behind Prosecutor Dolan running for high office, losing the wet bandit case, stains on his career and reputation. So he brings this ill-fated case against my clients who are beacons of the community. You heard from Uncle Frank. They do everything they can to contribute to the community, and they've raised resilient, independent children. And if they made a mistake, so be it. But they failed to prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. For those reasons, Judge, we asked the jury to find the McAllisters are not guilty, and they should be allowed to go home alone without law enforcement and celebrate Christmas.
Okay. That music means it is time for the verdict. Please, 312-981-7200. Let's light up the phone lines. The text line lighting up already. I'd like to hear some of your voices, though. Give us a call, 312-981-7200. It is time for you to rule. This does not have to be a unanimous decision. Last year, it came down to a single vote. So please, guilty or not guilty, 312-981-7200. We'll take a break, and then your phone calls after this on WGN. I'll start reading some of the texts. I'm tallying up the guilties or the not guilties. Get on the phone lines now or text in 312-981-7200. You've heard all the evidence, and now their fate is in your hands. The 331 says, I would have never passed the pretrial rigors to get on the jury. My mind is made up already. It's easy for me. They are guilty. The 469, they were responsible for making sure their plane made it on that plane. Terrible parenting. Guilty, guilty, guilty. A not guilty from the 708. A not guilty from the 415. 815, guilty, guilty, guilty. 708, not guilty. 815, guilty. We go to the phone lines. Kate, what do you think? Guilty or not guilty?
I think the McAllisters are guilty beyond a reasonable doubt due to Buzz's evidence. It sounds like they didn't like Kevin very much, and they just wanted to enjoy Paris in peace.
Kate, thank you for the phone call. That's another one for guilty. Kathy, what do you think?
Guilty. McAllisters are guilty. John, this is an excellent holiday activity. I totally appreciate it. And this is every child's nightmare to be abandoned by their parents. So, Patrick, you did an excellent job laying it out, and they are guilty.
That is Kathy. Let's go to Chris. Chris, what do you think?
Guilty, beyond a reasonable doubt. It's parental responsibility. Kevin is only 8 years old. That's your responsibility.
Wow, very good. That is Chris. Phone lines back on open, 312-981-7200. We got a lot of other texts coming in, and a lot of the texts are not guilty. In fact, as of right now, I've got 15 not guilties with only 7 guilties. The phone lines bring up the numbers, and we want you to keep on chiming in. 312-981-7200. The 708, based on the evidence presented, I have to say, not guilty. Horrible job by the prosecution. He should be fired. A simple reference to the code of law would have been enough for a 5-minute trial. Nonetheless, I had a great time listening and doing my own legal research. That from the 708. Any thoughts, Prosecutor Dolan, on that one?
No.
Okay.
let's just move on.
I love that caller or texter.
I think it's Mike's friend.
Oh,
but, no. You know, drinking buddy.
Are not guilty, still with a slight lead. Let's go to Joe. Joe, you're on WGN. What do you say, Joe?
I say not guilty.
Yeah.
I think that the McCaskey family figured out that the Bears are a valuable team, so they're not going to put any more money into it.
Oh, okay, so you're finding them guilty because they have a similar last name to the McCaskies.
He said not guilty.
Oh, he said not guilty. Okay, we'll go with not guilty on that one. Okay, 773, definitely guilty. Attorney Dolan presented a solid case. The 815, not guilty. The 224, guilty. The 773, not guilty. We are getting close to a tie. 312-981-7200. We're going to need to break it, and we need you to call in to do it. The 630 chiming in. Not guilty. Extenuating circumstances. The law makes exceptions for certain situations and people. Why did the prosecutor even bring up this case? Shouldn't he have shown some deference to hard times parenting?
Hooray, Patrick, hooray.
Patrick, what do you think?
Yeah, the law's the law. They violated the law.
847, guilty with the scales of justice emoji. 847, no doubt guilty. 630, not guilty. And as we come to the final caller, we are tied. Guilty.
We aren't tied.
Guilty.
Come on, Judge.
And not guilty. Tied at 38 votes. And we go to Kathy, who has the last and deciding vote of the McAllister parents. Kathy, are they guilty or not guilty?
Guilty!
Guilty! That is the verdict as decided by the WGN radio listeners. Mike Leonard, you look disappointed.
All I can say is it's a travesty of justice.
Patrick Dolan, your thoughts today?
Well, I think the jury did it right, and Mike can spend all that money on a nice meal tonight.
Now, can we come to some agreement? The parenting is hard. It's not easy.
You'll find out.
Thank you. Parents may have made a mistake. They tried to rectify it. And I agree with the sentence that the punishment should not be jail time or taking away kids. It should be, as you said, prosecutor, they should be forced to watch the last couple Home Alones without Macaulay Culkin in a row as penance for what they did.
Agreed.
We can agree on that. No appeal in this case, Mr. Leonard?
We can't. We're going to have to appeal, Judge.
Okay.
I agree, Your Honor. Brilliantly said.
I think Mike Leonard's really upset.
Happy holidays.
I hate to lose,
Happy
Judge.
Holidays.
I hate to lose.
This is why you need to hire Mike Leonard. He is so upset.
I'm so happy.
He's such a fighter. Mike, great job with this case. I may have put my finger on the scales a little bit.
No, you did a great job.
Oh, the truth comes out.
Where can people reach you, Mike Leonard? You do a great job.
312-380-6559.
Patrick Dolan, you're not a prosecutor, thank goodness. I think I won this case for you. Where can people reach you for all
I'm not offended by that. 312-332-7800.
We're going to do this again next year, gentlemen?
Absolutely.
Hope so.
You guys are now tied 1-1. So
yeah, here we go.
We'll find out next year. That's the trial of the Home Alone parents here on WGN. News coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.